Can you when you when I tell you what, when I was in high school, we were talking about this on Thursday night a little bit after the group. It's about our reading attire, if you will, our reading material. How many books you read through your life, or what you're reading right now? And I was not a big reader in high school, and still not a real big reader. But I can remember in college that they were assigned certain books, and I was sharing this with some of the guys on Thursday, that they assigned us some books, and they said, the English professor says, the problem with coming to college is you're going to train yourself that reading is only to learn and learning is not to enjoy. And he said, there's a good portion of you need to learn to learn through reading. But he said you also need to enjoy reading as well. And he would assign books like Travel with Charlie and Black Like Me and The Hiding Place and those different materials that would be able to we would read. And I find myself when I read, or even if I watch a TV show or watch a movie, I go through a whole gamut of emotions inside of that reading. I go through a whole thing, even if I'm watching Outlaw Josie Wales, which is probably one of my favorite movies, second only to 5-0 Goes West. Yeah, which is a classic. You got to watch 5-0 Goes West. But even in 5-0 Goes West, I find myself full of excitement of what's around the corner, or can't wait to turn the next page in the book to see what happened. But I also find myself at times upset at what's going on, and I find these emotions just running through my brain and my soul as I'm reading, as where I think we should, right? We should experience when you can get into the show or into a book, you start to experience what the author or the story is all about and what the people are facing and the struggles or the decisions they're making. We were watching an old show on Hulu or Netflix or one of those providers, and it was an old show of NCIS or New Orleans. And all of a sudden, there's this guy who's supposed to be a good guy. We found out at the end of the last show we watched that he's a double agent, and he's befriended this other person. And I find myself like, I'm mad. You're supposed to be a good guy. I'm not watching that show anymore. He's supposed to be a good guy. He doesn't look like a bad guy. He's not hiding in the shadows. And I found myself angry because of this guy who's in his actions. And I find myself that way when I read and when I watch a show. Anger or frustration or joy or excitement or disappointment or even sadness as I watch a show or read a book. The Bible is much the same way. As I continue to read the Word of God, I start to experience these emotions in me as I read the Word of God. I find myself sad at times. I find myself angry at times. I find myself disappointed. I find myself excited. I find myself saying, I'm not reading about him anymore. How dare he do that? Or how dare she do that? And I find myself going through, as I go through the scripture, all of a sudden, I read the next verse, and I'm like, that is horrible. It's so sad that decision was made. And I found myself doing that even this week as I was reading through 1 Corinthians chapter 2 again. And as I was reading through that 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I come to verse 6. And it says, we, and Paul is talking, do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature. We speak a message of wisdom. We speak a message of this amazing path of God among those that are believers in Jesus Christ, among those that are growing in their faith, among the mature, he says. We speak this amazing path that God has for them. We tell you about that path. But not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. And I found myself saying, I see the two different paths that he's talking about here. He's talking about the path of God. And he's talking about the path of the world. And I can feel myself just getting a little aggravated in the two paths, that dynamic that's saying, there are two paths in this world. And I think sometimes there's 100 paths, and God says there's really not. There's just two, with me or without me. And just so you know, that the path without me is coming to nothing. It ends up empty. It ends up without me. It ends up empty in your life. There's two paths, and one path is the path of life, and one path is the path of nothingness, of emptiness. And as I read that, I start to get a little excited. I start to put exclamation points at the end of every note I'm taking on that. That God is revealing to us that there is His path. No, He said, we speak in verse 7 of God's secret wisdom. A wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. I was like, wow. This wisdom of God, this path of God had been hidden, but now they speak of it. But now it's no longer hidden. It is this wisdom from God, this path from God. And I find myself very excited to see, whoa, I want to know more about that path that God has for me. That God has kept secret perhaps over the years, but at this moment it's being released into the lives of the people that are the readers, the church at Corinth. He said it was hidden, but now it's being released into your life. This secret wisdom, this wisdom that had not been yet revealed, but now He speaks of it and it is being revealed. It's for our glory. He said, it's for our glory. God destined for our glory before time began. This wisdom is for our benefit. This path of God is for our lifting us up. God said, I want to lift you up. I want to lift you up and I want to reveal this path of mine so it's for your benefit. And I want you to benefit from this. This message that God is releasing into our lives. Perhaps it's like John 3:3, that passage that says this. In reply, Jesus declared, I am the truth. I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. That's part of that message from God. You need to be born again so that you can see the kingdom of God. I want you to see the kingdom of God, but you can't see the kingdom of God with the eyes that you have. Which is being born physically. You've got to be born again. This is the message from God, he says. This is what I want you to know. I want you to be kingdom seers. But you've got to be born again before you can be a kingdom seer. Nicodemus, you've got to know this. I know you're a religious guy. I know you're maybe set in your ways, but you got to know it's a secret wisdom as I want you to see the kingdom. And you've got to be born again. You've got to be born again. Maybe it's John 10:10 is part of this wisdom from God. When the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the fullest. I've come that you may have life. So this wisdom, this path of God is the fullness of life. He said, you got to be, I want you to be a kingdom seer. And that's part of what I want to reveal to you. How do you can be a kingdom seer? I want you to be a life experiencer. And that's part of what I want for you in your life. That's part of what I want to release to you in your life, he says. Look at what he says in James 5:16. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. That's what I want you to know too. That the prayers of righteous people are powerful and effective. Some of us witnessed that even last week as we gathered after the service and some called the new lifer that need to be prayed for. And that cancer might be knocking on their door again. That there was evidence that cancer had knocked on their door after 3 years of being through the operations and everything. And that cancer was back in her life. And as we gathered and we prayed here, and then somebody prayed at 12:40, and somebody called and prayed at 12:50, and somebody called and prayed at 1 o'clock. And I got the word on Wednesday. The person just called me and said this. They just called me. They need me to know that there is no cancer in my life. Do I think they misdiagnosed on Friday? No, I think there was cancer on Friday, and there was not cancer on Monday. Because the prayers of righteous people are powerful and effective. And he said, I want you to know that. He said, that's part of the wisdom of God. I want you to know it. And I want to uncap it in your life. In Ephesians 6:10, maybe it's part of that. Finally, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take a stand against the enemy's schemes, against the devil's schemes. He said, I want you to stand against the enemy. I want you to stand against the devil. And you're going to stand against him. And you're going to be people who are powerful and effective in prayer. And you're going to have your thing, your mind set on things above, as it says in Colossians. And Luke 4:19 says this, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I want you to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Don't let me lose you this morning. That's part of the wisdom of God, that path of God that he's uncapping in our life. This is what I want for you. And he's telling the church of Corinth, and he's telling the church of New Life, and he's telling the church of today, this is what I want for you. This is what I want for you. This is how I fight my battles, right? It's the only song we sang today where I heard more singing behind me than I did in front of me. This is what I have for you. This is what I want to do. God reveals his wisdom to us, that we would be born again, kingdom seeing, life living, heaven seeking, prayer blasting, armor wearing, enemy defeating, favor proclaiming people of the Most High God. That's what he wants for us. And that's what he's saying. He said, that wasn't, you didn't know that before, but you're knowing it now because God's opened up the floodgates. Because God's doing something in our midst. And you got to know that he's doing that. Listen to verse 6 and 7. We do, however. See, when you know that, now I read it like, woohoo! Oh, we don't speak about just any little drop in the bucket. We're speaking about the wisdom of God. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the believers in Jesus Christ, but not the wisdom of this age. We're crying out loud, that's coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God is destined for our glory before time began. He chose now to do that in your life. Look at verses 9 and 10 of that Corinthians passage. However, as it is written, no eye has seen and no ear has heard and no mind can conceive what God has prepared for those who love him. But God revealed it to us by his Holy Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. See, I want to skip verse 8. See, I want to go from 6, 7 to 9 to 10. Because when I read verse 8, I get sad. When I read verse 8, I start to get angry. When I read verse 8, the lights start to go dim. I want to read 6 and 7. I want to read about the kingdom of God. I want to read about the wisdom of God. I want to read about that being released into my life and how the prayers of righteous people are powerful and how God wants me to advance and stand strong against the enemy. And then I want to read about no eye has seen. You can't even imagine at what level I'm going to be doing this. No ear has heard. You can't even conceive what I'm going to be doing in your life. You can't know the power yet because I'm releasing it day in and day out. See, I want to read that. I want to skip 8. Just to be honest, I want to skip 8. Because 8 says this, none of the rulers of this age understood it. They didn't understand what God was doing. They didn't understand who God was. They didn't understand what God was releasing into their life. They didn't understand God. They didn't understand God's plan. They didn't understand it. That's a big it. They didn't understand God. And look what it says. None of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They would not. If they had understood God. If they had understood what God was doing in their life, if they had understood what God wanted to release into their life, if they understood how much God loves them, if they understood the finer points of God, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They were ignorant of the truth that God wanted them to experience. They were ignorant of the truth that God wanted them to experience being born again. They were ignorant of the truth that God wanted them to see the kingdom and to live life. They were ignorant of the truth that everything that God was doing is so that we can seek heaven. Everything that God does in our life is so that we can become prayer-blasting people. Everything that God does in our life is so that we can see the kingdom of God. Everything that he does. is so that he can release this into my life, so he can release the kingdom eyes into my life. That's what he's doing. Everything he does. And some people, he said, did not do that. So they crucified the Lord of glory. They extinguished him. That word crucified can mean two things: nailed to a cross physically, and it also means to extinguish or subdue the passion of the Lord of glory in their life. Because everything that God does wants to enable me to stand against Satan and say, no way you're coming this way. And take ground that he has and wear the armor and proclaim the favor of God. They didn't know that that's what God wanted because they didn't understand God. And so they killed, they crucified, they extinguished the passion of the Lord of glory in their life. I don't know about you, but that makes me mad. I want 6, 7, 9, 10. Just to be honest, that's the way I want this passage to read. I don't want the middle saying there are people who won't let God do that in their life. And so they subdue the passion of the Lord of glory in their life. My concern is, do I do that? Because I don't understand God, and I don't understand what he's doing in my life, and I don't understand the points about God, and I don't understand that maybe he would allow something into my life just so I can see the kingdom. And I don't understand that God may do those things. I don't understand who God is. And so all of a sudden, because I don't understand God, I begin to subdue the passion of the Lord of glory in my life. Maybe you don't. I do. And I asked myself this week, do I do that? Do I crucify the Lord of glory in my life? Do I extinguish his passion in my life? Am I failing to know and understand God and his ways and therefore subduing his passion in my life? Am I failing to know that everything he brings into my life, whatever, even if it's something I don't understand what he's doing, even if it's something I don't even know about yet, even whatever that is, that he would be doing that so I can be seeing the kingdom, so I can be born again, so that I can be a prayer-blasting man of God, so that I can wear the armor of God. And so as I reflected on that this week in my own life, I began to write things that I don't know, God. I didn't know this about you. This is the first one I wrote. I've come to this conclusion. Push the button, please. Do I know that God doesn't want me to be balanced in life? Do you know that? Do you know that God doesn't want you to be balanced? We strive for balance a lot. And yeah, I've taken tests before too. Here's one of the results. Push the button again. Here, you're supposed to measure how you do on each one of these levels and then start to draw your wheel. As you can see, my wheel's not too round. As a matter of fact, if I continue to draw that out, my wheel isn't going to get very good gas mileage. And I began to learn that God doesn't want me balanced. God wants me radical. I strive for balance in my life, and God says, I don't want you to be balanced in this life. I want you to be radical. I want you to be sold out for me. And you don't know that I'm doing that in your life. You don't know that's what I expect. And all of a sudden, you're squashing me. You're putting out my passion. You're putting out the passion of the Lord of glory in your life because you think I want your life to be balanced. I don't want your life to be balanced. I want you to be radically sold out for Christ. And you're not going to be earthly balanced if you're sold out for Christ. You're not going to be able to mark down 5 for everything. Look what he says in the scripture. Then he, Jesus, called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said this: if anyone comes after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What I want is sold out people for Jesus Christ. I don't know what that's going to look like in your life, but it probably won't be balanced. You're not going to be able to measure off, did I get enough vacation in? Did I get enough this in? Did I get enough trips to the grocery store? Did I get enough of this in, enough of this in, enough of this in? He said, I want you sold out for Christ, and then let me balance your life with that. I don't want your life balanced. Look what he says in the message in Luke 14, 26. Anyone who comes to me but refuses to let go of the father, mother, spouse, children, brothers, sisters, yes, even their own self, cannot be my disciple. I want sold out people. If you're going to follow me, you need to be sold out for Christ. And when I try to balance my life and I got to have a few hours here and a few hours there and a few hours doing this and a few hours doing that and a few hours doing that, I need all my hours in Christ. And let Him direct my life. And let Him make the calls in my life. And let Him determine my path. God does not want me to be balanced. And so I ask this. Am I extinguishing the passion of the Lord of glory in my life because I am striving to be balanced? I am striving to have enough run time and enough Jesus time. I'm striving to have enough this time and that time and enough this time and enough that time. Listen, I've done enough of those charts. I've worked through those. I've tried to balance my life. I am out of balance in my life. And I felt guilty when I got done. And I felt guilty over and over and over because I was out of balance and I needed to get my life in balance and my wheel needed to be round. And God says, that's not what I want for your life. Stop putting me out in your life. Stop putting out the passion of the Lord of glory and be sold out for me and watch what we'll do. And maybe that's a finer point in your life. It's not in my life. I need to be sold out, and I plan on being sold out, and I am not extinguishing the passion of the Lord of glory in my life because I am striving for balance. Do you know this? The next thing, do you know this? Push the button, please. Do you know that God hates sin? Do we understand that God hates sin? It repulses God when we sin. And look what he says in Proverbs. Six things that the Lord hates. Yes, seven are abomination to him. A proud look. He hates your pride. He loves you and he hates your lying tongue. And I try to walk with God and I try to lie my way out of a situation. Or I try to be proud. I try to push my way to the front. And God said, that's not me. I hate that. I hate that sin in your life. And when you allow that sin to take residency in your life, it subdues the power and the passion of the Lord of glory. So that I love you, that has nothing to do with my passion growing in your life. But you allow sin and you adopt sin and you embrace sin in your life and you say, well, God loves me anyway. I do love you, God says, but I hate what you're hanging on to. I hate sin. And am I extinguishing the passion of the Lord of glory because I am hanging on to active sin in my life? Well, I don't know how I would do it without it. You're going to have to trust God. See, I think this is a part of the verse 8 people. They didn't understand that God was doing this. They didn't understand that God wanted to let them to see the kingdom and he couldn't be okay with the sin in their life. And he wanted them to get rid of the sin in their life so he could give them more and more and more of what he had for them so they could be kingdom-seeing people. So they could be enemy-stomping people. So that they can be worshiping people and we hang on to this sin and we hang on to this sinful lifestyle and this action. If I would just ask, and you can answer in your own brains, what's one thing that you're doing or not doing that you don't think God approves of? Whatever you just said to yourself, that's it. And God said, I don't like that. I love you, but you stink. And I want to release my abilities into your life. I want my wisdom. I want this path of mine to be released into your life. See why I wanted verse 8 gone? Because it makes me sad, it makes me mad, and I don't want to talk about it in my own life or in your life. I don't want to be one of those 8ers. I want to be a 6, 7, 9, 10er. But at times I'm an 8er because I'm allowing this to what I don't understand, or I'm allowing something in my in my life, and I'm doing something that I know that God doesn't want me to do, or I'm not doing something that I know that God wants me to do, and still I'm mad. I'm just mad. I don't like life, and I'm sad, and I just don't know why. And God, you can fix it, but you don't fix it. And God said, if you let go of that sin that I hate, we would fix this. But right now you're subduing the power and the passion of the Lord of glory because you're trading it for a sinful lifestyle. Am I judging you? No. That's above my pay scale. But I know it's the truth. Am I extinguishing the passion of the Lord of glory because I am hanging on, I'm striving to be balanced, or I'm hanging on to this sin in my life? I'm hanging on to active sin. The next one, I've just got five of these. Do you know that God may not remove the consequences of your sin when He forgives you? Do you know that? People struggle with that. That we think that when He forgives us, that the consequences of that sin in the here and now need to leave as well. How about this passage? Push the button, please. Here we go. And we are punished as justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. The man on the cross next to Jesus. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. And 3 hours later, the guy died on the cross. His consequences were not erased, but his soul was forgiven. Sometimes the consequences are going to be alive in your life and in my life. Sometimes God is going to forgive you for crime and you're still going to jail. Sometimes God's going to forgive you for a promiscuous lifestyle and you're still going to have an STD. And sometimes God's going to forgive you. He will forgive you for financial misconduct and you'll still be broke. And God will forgive you for drug and alcohol addiction and you may still have liver issues. Living with the consequences does not mean that we have not been forgiven. Questions like, did God really forgive me? I still have this. I'm still suffering. I still have this suffering in my life. And it can run us into the ditch. Forgiveness, and I wrote this in my book this week, forgiveness is a relationship healer, not a consequence eraser. And I got to know that God will do that in my life, or I'll push God aside. Because when my consequence doesn't go away, I don't think my sin went away. Are you with me this morning? And all of a sudden, I start to subdue the power and the passion of the Lord of glory in my life. Listen, I've walked with people that have been forgiven, and you went to jail anyway, and some of you are here this morning. Forgiveness is a relationship healer, not a consequence eraser. And sometimes I think in my life and in other people's lives, we think that if the consequences are still there, the sin is still there and I have not been forgiven. And I wander around in this doubt and it runs me into a ditch. And the passion of the Lord of glory is subdued in my life. So that God can't come out and say, let me give you kingdom eyes. I still got this situation. I know, but I've forgiven you for it. But I still got, I know, don't worry about it. It's the relationship that we healed here so I can make you a kingdom-seeing person. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the consequence. That's not going to stop you from being a kingdom-eyed person. Am I making sense this morning? Am I extinguishing the passion of the Lord of glory in my life because the consequences of sin are still in my life? Let me finish with this one this morning. Do I know that God thinks dying is better than sinning. God would rather have you die than sin. See, I don't see that. Sometimes I wrestle with that. Hey, and all of a sudden, I don't think God wants me to die. So the only way out is I got to lie. God said, "Wait a minute, I hate that." Then can you get the memo on that? He said, "I would rather have you dead than sinning. I would rather have you choose to die than to sin." Hebrews tells us this: in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. You have not yet resisted sin to the point where you die. I would rather have you dead than sinning. So you can ask yourself, and I will ask myself the same thing: does God want me to lie to get out of this situation? He does not. If that situation kills you, that would be better than sinning. Push the button. You know who this guy is? This is your history lesson for today. Casper Ten Boom. Corey Ten Boom's dad. A Dutchman, a watchmaker, who was very active in hiding and helping the Jews escape the Nazis. And when they come and they arrested them out of their store and they arrested them out of their house because they found out that they were helping the Jews escape the Nazi concentration camps. And they came to Mr. Ten Boom. They came to Casper, and as they were loading him on the truck, the Nazi guard says, "I would like an old man to die in his bed if he would only behave himself." And Mr. Ten Boom says this: "You need to know. I will let," this is what it says, "I will let an old man die in his own bed if he will behave." To which Casper Ten Boom responded, "God's people will always be welcome in my home." To which they shut the door of the truck, and 9 days later, he died in a concentration camp. He said, "I would rather die than sin." Nine days he lasted. Am I extinguishing the passion of the Lord of glory because I think it's better to sin and live than die? I don't want to be a verse 8-er. God says, I want this to unleash in your life. And I picked you. I picked this time. I have you born in this moment in history because I want you to see the kingdom in 2021. Because I want you to stand against the enemy in 2021. Because I want you to know and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor in 2021. I want you to know that, but you got to know who I am, and I may be doing some things in your life you don't understand. You can't extinguish the power and the passion of the Lord of glory, or you'll never get there. And I will do things different than what you think. I will not remove consequences. And I may let you die, but choose to die rather than sin. Verse 9 and 10 again. "However, as it is written, no eye has seen, and no ear has heard, and no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Holy Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God, and makes them known to you." That's what He wants to do in our lives. Stand with me today. God, I know that you have done some shaking up in my soul this week. I know that you've rattled me some, and I know that I don't understand some of these things fully. I just don't. I could go in and I need to study them over and over and deeper and deeper. But there's some things I understand right full well that I'm not going to hang on to sin and willingly give up the passion of the Lord of glory in my life. I don't want to willingly be active in something in my life that you just hate. I don't want to be active with anything in my life or not active in things in my life that will hinder the passion of the Lord of glory coming alive in my life. Lord, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive what God has in store for those who love Him. But God, you, with the Holy Spirit in us, searches the deep things of God and reveals them to us. Help us not to surrender anything that you want to bring into our life. Father, I thank you so much for these moments together. I thank you for this day. I thank you for what you're doing in and through us. And God, this is how we fight our battles. When I'm surrounded, you're surrounding it all. So Father, thank you for that truth. As we go today, we're going to be released into this world that so desperately need people who have the glory of the Lord of glory's passion released into our lives. Oh, what this world would be. If the passion of the Lord of glory was being released into us and being released into this world. Father, help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.